With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Yeah, I could see this impacting wheat as much as anything. In 27, in my opinion, the ratio of fertilizer to the price of corn, in my opinion, is going to be one of the bigger issues than 26, for instance. But obviously, yeah, you look at diesel fuel as well, and diesel fuel is taken off and gone.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. A temporary ceasefire tied to the Strait of Hormuz, easing the global oil markets, but key cost pressures for ag remain in place. So while crude prices move lower in response to the news, shipping disruptions, input costs remain elevated, limiting immediate relief for U.S. producers. Hundreds of vessels remain backed up in the region. Industry estimates suggest it could take weeks or even longer for traffic to fully normalize. World Trade Organization's latest ministerial conference ended without an agreement, raising new question about the group's role in global trade policy. Proposed extension of the long-standing moratorium on digital trade tariffs was blocked. It prevented broader progress on reforms backed by the U.S. U.S. trade representatives said the failure to extend the e-commerce moratorium highlights growing divisions among member countries, and the U.S. had pushed to make the tariff pause permanent or at least extend it, but opposition from key countries prevented a consensus. So the outcome also stalled a broader U.S.-led reform agenda to modernize the WTO. While many members supported reform discussions, participation and levels of agreement fell short of expectations, limiting the organization's ability to act. WTO leadership noted some progress, including continued work on fishery subsidies and support for smaller economies, but several major issues, again, including the digital trade rules, remain unresolved. They'll have to be taken up in further negotiations in Geneva. Lower transportation costs, though, helping U.S. corn remain competitive in export markets, while soybean demand continues to face pressure from global competition. USDA data shows fourth quarter shipping costs declined. It supports corn movement even as soybean exports weakened. Transportation costs from the Midwest to Japan fell both quarter to quarter and year over year. Lower barge and truck rates drove much of the decline. It offset slightly higher ocean freight costs. That helped reduce total landed costs for corn through both Gulf and Pacific Northwest routes. But what about soy meal and bean oil? Matt Bennett with AgMarket.net.
There's no doubt that crush margins are really good right now. So you're crushing the beans for meal and oil and selling the products. Those margins are strong. And when those margins are strong, essentially you're in a spot where those originators for soybeans can't let that plant run out of beans. And so you could see some pretty hot basis levels in the areas that are running shy of beans. So no doubt on old crop, it's going to be more of a function of cash. If you've got a few beans left, maybe given this a little time, it's totally up to you. Gambling bushels is probably all I'd be holding on to, but it could pay for you to hold on to those.
That's Matt Bennett with AgMarket.net. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
When a market starts to see that, it's saying, oh, number one, they're desperate.
Josh Linville is vice president of fertilizer with StoneX on a recent tender by India.
If they're coming out now of all times with this purchase tender, it means they have to have the product. They put on a good face. They put on a good game. They said all the right things, but they announced the purchase tender. They need the tons worse than what they're letting on. And number two, a government can pay far more. Where a typical buyer around the world may sit there and say, it's too high, I'm scaling back, I'm doing whatever. The numbers we're talking about for fertilizer, it's a rounding error. So now all of a sudden, this is the thing we've been watching. This is the thing we've been worried about. This is the type of situation that can break this market far higher than where it had been kind of sitting, because we'd been settling last week or two. Things had calmed down. Of course, we saw plenty of things going on around the world that were impacting supplies, impacting shipments, that everything had calmed down while everybody waited for the next thing to happen. India just caused that next thing to happen. It was not a great Easter gift. And now we've got to sit back and wait. How are the offers going to approach this thing? Are they just going to go in where the market pricing has been? Probably not. I mean, again, they're looking for 2.5 million ton. And the first question out of everybody's mouth was probably, where are you going to find 2.5 million tons today? So the market is very much anticipating they're not going to come anywhere close to that number of tons. Number one, we'll see if they can even reach that number as far as being offered. And number two, can they come anywhere close to it as far as what they get awarded, what they get purchased? But then if you're a trader, if you're a supplier, if you're a manufacturer around the world and you see this going on, if your price, let's just say, is $7.50, you may sit there and say, listen, for this type of a situation, I'm going to offer it $7.75. I'm going to offer it $800, because chances are they're going to have to negotiate far up the supply chain to try and come even more close to the tons they want to lock up. And I don't want to be the one setting the lowest price. So I'm going to go over and above what I think everybody else will be. And that just gets you a situation where this market, which is already bullish, it's a shot of adrenaline. So we've got to wait and see how it plays out next week. But as of right now, this was one of my two worst case scenarios. Now, we know Europe has been struggling through high natural gas prices after having shut off the cheap flows from Russia back in 21. Fortunately, their production has continued to be around 75% normal. But we also know values have been going up because of everything going on in the Middle East. And if we start to see that rate go down, well, that kills more supply and it pushes more demand out in the marketplace. So that could be something that could change very, very quickly. The other one, which is more at the front of the list, would be Russia. The war between Russia and Ukraine is still going on. Everybody's focused on the Middle East, but don't forget there's still a war being raged between these two countries. And Ukraine has gotten very, very good at striking targets in Russian territory. And what we've seen is they actually have gone after some nitrogen production plants. That has some people scratching their head being like, well, of all the things you could attack, why that? Well, these nitrogen plants that they're targeting are the ones that are high, high producers of ammonium nitrate. The same product that they're sending to some of these munition factories to build weapons of war that's being used against Ukraine. You've got to assume that these munition factories are probably heavily defended. Russia knows we got to make sure these things don't get attacked. So why attack a heavily defended target when you can start to sit there and say, well, fine, we'll just take out all of the undefended targets that produce the inputs for those plants. If you take out the inputs, the plant doesn't have to be attacked. It shuts down. So if all of a sudden we start to see that type of approach, if we start to see that escalate, if we start to see Ukraine start trying to take out export facilities, start trying to take out vessels at their port facilities to stop the vessels from coming, much like what we've seen in the Middle East, where vessels are like throwing their hands up in the air saying, I don't want anything to do with this. Anything that can hurt Russia's ability to export nitrogen products takes a bad situation and makes it so much worse. Remember, Russia is the largest single urea exporter in the world. They used to be the biggest anhydrous exporter. They're a massive UAN exporter. If they start to be impacted on what they can export, whether that be from a supply or a capability standpoint, this global market gets very, very bad very, very quickly.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Consumer demand for beef has been stellar for the past several years, and I think that is a result of us producing a better product.
Shelby Horn is a cattleman from Fredericksburg, Texas.
We have more product now that grades prime and choice than we've ever had. Consumer eating experiences are reported at an all-time high. And so we are producing a product that consumers want. That is very satisfying to a producer, and we will continue to do that. Adding days to these cattle has allowed them to grade at a higher level, and that's produced a better eating experience. So, yeah, consumer demand's been, unbelievable, and that's a lot of this, higher prices is we just had demand for the product.
Dr. Mark Johnson is Oklahoma State Beef Breeding Specialist.
If you calve in January, you're either turning out bulls or have already done it. And the question's coming up a lot. Do we have adequate bull power for breeding season? And particularly, we address that question from a standpoint of bull to female ratios. We want to make sure we're going to get a prompt breed up. We know that if we can save one heat cycle in getting cows bred, those calves are going to be about 20 days older and about 40 pounds heavier by the time we look down the road and wean them. And so, as we think about getting an adequate amount of bulls, but not an excessive amount of bulls turned out with cows, we think about bull to female ratios. First thing we want to talk about, whether we own our bull inventory or we are procuring it, a breeding soundness exam is very important as we look ahead to breeding season. We want to make sure those bulls have passed a semen check, been through that entire BSE to make sure that they're good to go. And once we've accomplished that, whether we're looking at mature bulls or yearling bulls, it's really the bull's age that serves as an indicator on how many females he should get serviced in a defined breeding season. If we think a defined breeding season, we're looking at probably something 45 to 90 days is a reasonable expectation. So, first rule of thumb, if we're turning out yearling bulls, they passed a BSE, they should be capable of servicing about one female per month of age that they are at turnout. For example, if I've got 60 heifers to breed and I'm going to be turning out bulls that are 15 months of age at the beginning of breeding season, I consider those bulls good for about 15 apiece. So 60 heifers are going to need about 4 bulls. If those bulls are only 12 months old when they pass their BSE, I'm probably going to do that math and figure I should have 5 bulls turned out instead of 4. That generally holds true up to the point that the bulls are about 2 years of age. If we're looking at 2-year-old bulls, those bulls that are closer to maturity, we can probably count on them for 25 to 35 females in a defined breeding season. The other thing to consider, there is a prime of life for breeding bulls. That's typically between yearling status or being about 2 years of age up to about the age of 6. That's not to say that all bulls will last until they're 6 or they're going to break down at 6 years of age, but that is the prime window when we expect them to be the most athletic, least likely to break down. Let's keep a close eye on those older bulls beyond the age of 6. They're more likely to go bad, have something happen during breeding season. Often we're probably not going to catch that until we're doing preg checks in the fall. So bull to female ratios, keep them in mind to determine if you got adequate bull power turned out. Prompt breed up is a result of having adequate bull power out there, and it pays dividends as we look a year, year and a half down the road in a defined breeding season.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Crude was trading down $17, as you can see here, clearly a massive pullback, which obviously affects a lot of things for us as growers.
Matt Bennett's with AgMarket.net.
The direction of the crude oil market is certainly going to be a volatile one. I can't say resolutely that we feel better about this conflict completely and totally being over. Some of the rhetoric that we've heard is that, you know, Iran said it would be safe for the next 2 weeks, provided a list of things. And also, we will be ready to react, and we are going to stay in war mode, if you will. And so it's a tense situation still, and I don't know that we feel great that it's completely resolved. If it would be resolved, then the kind of pressure we're seeing today on the crude oil market is something to be expected moving forward. And so how does that impact us? Obviously, it impacts us in a lot of ways, but let's just start here. You know, you look at fertilizer. This came from corn growers, and you can see here how many bushels it take to buy a ton of fertilizer. And clearly, it takes a lot of bushels, and it gets us in a spot where if you don't have fertilizer bought for this year, it's problematic. Now, if we're realistic, I think maybe 10 to 15% of fertilizer still needs to be purchased. Yes, there's some spring application, no doubt about it. It could impact acreage to a degree. Part of the problem, if you will, is you clearly have the corn market had rallied higher, but the normal ratio of crude oil to corn, this is the ethanol era began 20 some years ago, has been around 15.5 to 1. You know, at $95, you should be looking at around $6 corn. We have not followed higher. It's something I've talked about a lot lately. Essentially, though, if the crude oil market would be able to maintain itself above $100, even with fundamentals that could be viewed still as a little bit burdensome, you could see the corn market go quite a bit higher. Now, I don't know if crude is going to go back over and stay above $100. It's impossible to outguess what's going to happen. And so I just want to point out clearly the fertilizer situation. This came from FarmDoc. I really liked it. It was their weekly update, if you will. And you can see, you know, anhydrous ammonia has absolutely skyrocketed. And so anybody who needed spring anhydrous, if it wasn't already booked, you know, has seen a $250 to $300 increase. $1,100 a ton is a pretty common number in our part of the world. You know, you look at DAP, we had basically fell back from last fall. Got a little bit of relief there, but then we've gone back higher. But we're not higher than what we were there late in the year. You know, potash has been the one place that I would say has been fairly reasonable, you know, over the last several months. And so it's not, we're not super concerned there. I mean, Canada produces most of the potash that we consume, and we're still able to purchase that. But, you know, you get into liquid nitrogen. A lot of guys and gals like to side dress. We like side dress. We did book ours and got it at least locked in, you know, before all of this happened, thank goodness. But if that didn't happen for a grower, clearly it could be cost prohibitive. And, you know, in a nutshell, whenever you're looking at that, or maybe top dressing urea, you see urea is absolutely skyrocketed, which is about 25% of the world's urea flows through the Strait of Hormuz. So the supply disruption there is very real. And then we saw this week that, you know, India stepped in and bought 2.5 million tons of urea. And what's going on there is they're trying to make sure that if urea is in short supply, they've already got it bought. What would that do for us on down the road if this skirmish lasts much longer? You could see urea prices very prohibitive to someone stepping in and buying it.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
Saturday morning, woke up to the news, and this is the thing we've been watching for. This is the thing we've been fearful of. We've been talking about. India stepped into the market.
Josh Linville is vice president of fertilizer with StoneX.
They are announcing another purchase tender, and the details are they're looking for 2.5 million tons, a million ton of that for East Coast ports, 1.5 million ton of that for West Coast ports. The offers are due by the 15th of April. The shipment window goes through June 14th. Here's why this is such a big deal. Before, it was just the market. You know, buyers were having a say in it. Prices are too high. I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to scale back. Now, all of a sudden, with India stepping in, because of the way that they do it with the government subsidizing the price between the low farmer price and the high global price, and like any government around the world, when a market starts to see that, it's saying, oh, number one, they're desperate. If they're coming out now of all times with this purchase tender, it means they have to have the product. They put on a good face. They put on a good game. They said all the right things, but they announced the purchase tender. They need the tons worse than what they're letting on. When we look at the nitrogen products from an anhydrous and UAN standpoint, the U.S. produces most of what it needs throughout the given year. Urea is still the one that we import quite a bit. In fact, this fertilizer year, we still think that our number of imports needs to be somewhere between 5 and 5.1 million ton. We've continued to see NOLA trading at a very, very steep discount to Middle East replacement chains. And the reason we look at that is, typically speaking, when you look at where our imports come from, half of them typically come from the Middle East. And so we watch that price relationship. We look at the Middle East FOB price, the vessel freight, converted to short ton. You throw in $5 or $10 a ton for all the money to put it onto a barge off the vessel, and that gives you that price. And then you compare it where NOLA is trading, and that kind of gives you that differential. And for most of the year, NOLA trades at a discount because it does not need the imports. Well, during this time of year, this is when we start to move to a premium, and we should be somewhere between a $10 and a $30 a ton premium to the Middle East replacement chain, and we've been almost $100 a ton discount. Now, a lot of that has to do with the fact that our imports have been very, very good. When we look at our imports July of 2025 through March, which part of that's Commerce Department information, part of that is vessel tracking through Kepler. But as we look at those numbers, we are ahead. We're sitting very, very good. We've got a very healthy lineup of vessels coming in for the month of April. But now with India stepping into the marketplace, those April vessels are not guaranteed to arrive to the North American marketplace. The ship owner can, or the owner of the product can very much call the ship and say, hey, FYI, I've got a tremendous opportunity. I want you to turn around. I want you to head to a West Coast India port facility. It's going to be expensive. It's going to take a minute to figure it all out. But if India comes in with an extremely high price versus NOLA, all those tons we expected to come in April, we could lose those in a moment. In fact, some of the discounts we're seeing, we're watching and trying to hear if there are any exports happening, people buying up barges and exporting them. It's not happened yet, but that gives you a sense of how cheap we are versus the world. So all this is sit there and say, one of the things is all this stuff has been going on. We've been saying North America is actually in good shape. It's in good shape. Good can turn to bad very, very quickly. And if there's a time of year where that can happen, we're living in it right now. So we have to be cautious. One of the crazy things I've been saying, I don't like saying this, but it's the absolute truth. One of the best things that can happen for North America is our NOLA urea price gets back in line with the rest of the world. At least keep those flows coming here. Make sure that we don't lose them to the rest of the world, because last thing I want to see is the market to move into the side dress season, first spring season, the last shot of nitrogen to grow that crop. And everybody starts looking around and realizes it never came. If we sit at this kind of a discount, that is my biggest fear. So NOLA continues to be a discount. It doesn't feel like it given where prices are, but it's something that needs to be corrected very quickly, or we could be living in a very, very bad world second half April, May.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Looking at the winter wheat crop in the U.S.
Mike Castle with StoneX.
And this has been kind of, part of the story here over the last couple months as things have dried out in, portions of the central U.S. And that led to a pretty notable decline in winter wheat conditions at the national level. As you can see here, down 13% from that final 48% good to excellent that was published back in late November, coming in nationally at 35% good to excellent. You can see that's down 8% versus the average at this time. You can see how we typically move over the winter, again, with crop conditions being kind of a beauty contest in general. You do more often than not see conditions decrease over the winter, but still down 13% over that span. That's the sharpest drop here in 4 years. So there are certainly issues, and those issues are centered very much on the plains. You can see here these charts on the left showing good to excellent versus last year at this time, and then on the right versus the five-year average. And you'll notice kind of the same folks. And again, for the sake of time, we'll just focus on kind of the worst problem spots for now. But you can see on that far right there, Nebraska, Montana, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Those are the folks in the worst shape. I know Montana's kind of out of that, what you would consider, typical plains, especially southern plains, your hard red winter wheat markets. But they are down quite notably. Again, you saw how that compared to last year versus the five-year average. Here's a look, seasonally speaking, at how those individual states compare to the previous 5 years, that blue line being where we sit here in 2026. Again, you can see going from that final fall rating in late November to where we are here in April. And what you'll notice there is a really sharp drop for everyone except Montana. They came into it kind of in rough shape. Kind of a dry fall, had some problems early on. So they did improve, but still, again, not looking great. Worst at this time since 2022, as you can see. But for those other states, you see, again, Colorado, Nebraska, Oklahoma. That's where these most significant drops have been. And again, this is very reflective of the weather there. And you can see that, again, not a huge shock if you've been following the weather. Again, showing that current drought monitor just at the national level. A lot of color on there, not something that we want to see at this time of year, obviously, pretty broad, kind of the whole country seeing something for the most part, except kind of your further northern plains and eastern Midwest. But really, again, we're talking about Colorado, Nebraska, and Oklahoma in this. You see a lot of red in those states. Then you could see that on the right here showing this change over the last 3 months. Those are the areas that have kind of dried out the most. Again, you see some pretty ugly looks there, all the way from Wyoming, kind of eastern portions there, through into the panhandle of Texas. Kansas has fared kind of the best of these plain states. They're, again, our top winter wheat producer. Nice to see some of the areas not having these problems. But again, in general, a lot of drying out. That also doesn't mention the kind of back and forth we've seen on the temperatures there, the high winds that make that drying out worse, especially when they occur with higher temps. We also had some freezes that probably some amount of winter kill down there, or if not full-blown winter kill, some amount of yield loss. Obviously takes a while. You got to get into spring to actually see how the crop is looking to assess that kind of damage. But again, still certainly some issues out there, something that's going to continue to be a story here as we move forward in the months ahead.
And this is Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. And we have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.